Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. So, a couple of things. LeBron has spoken to the media, and he seems to be in good spirits. He seems to feel like they're going to do their best to work this thing out. It feels like the players and the league are talking to kind of figure out a plan, which is kind of what we've said. Like, they're just kind of sitting back, having these conversations, and I don't think the NBA is in any way, shape, or form going to put themselves in a position where they're going to give you false hope. I think that's what they're trying to avoid, which, honestly, I think that's what baseball was trying to avoid, too, and then Passan broke that story, and they had to walk it back some. However, clearly, we know baseball is trying to move forward. And I'm of the opinion that the NBA is probably fine with letting baseball move forward. And baseball is obviously keeping an eye on the Korean Baseball League and then talking to the health officials on trying to get this thing done. Because if I'm the NBA, this is just me. If I'm the NBA, I'm sitting there going, okay, fine. Baseball, go right ahead. You do your spring training. You get your opening day in Arizona, wherever you want to play it. We'll see how that works out first for a little bit while we wait and see how that unfolds. And then if it goes well early on, then we'll get started. Because think about it. If the NBA comes back, quick training camp, a week or two, plays 5 or 6 games in the regular season, which in essence become preseason games, but they'll just count for the regular season. And then right into the playoffs after that, all of a sudden, you're talking about Major League Baseball being, I don't know, I guess a couple of weeks into their season. The novelty is worn off a little bit. And then, boom, NBA playoffs. And the NBA takes the audience. Now, I don't know how that's going to happen. But my guess is if I were running the NBA, that's how I would do it. I'd be like, okay, I let baseball kind of take the first step here and then figure it out. I'd be totally fine with that. I'd have zero issues with that, as a matter of fact. I actually think that it's the position that I would take, and it feels like, without me knowing anything, the position that Adam Silver is willing to take, as you heard McMiniman say, and we've talked about it here. We had the conversation about Adam Silver's chat with Ernie Johnson on the NBA's Twitter account. He said, I'm not really thinking about anything until May. I'm having conversations, but I'm not really going to lay anything out there. And I think it just is the right position to take. And again, it's what baseball was trying to do until their cover was blown. But the NBA players were paid or are going to be paid for their April 15th paycheck. The Players Association kind of had a little leverage there because without cancellations of games, there's really not a real justification to do that. Had the owners and the league canceled games, it'd be a different story. The leverage would flip-flop. But I do think, as Dave pointed out astutely, is that it's goodwill. If you want the players to play in the Bahamas or Vegas or wherever the hell, you probably need to treat them right. And then collaborate from there when you have a more concrete plan at that point. And speaking of finances, Bergman, did you see the Todd Gurley tweet at the Rams?
Yeah, I didn't. It's a little odd. Basically calling them out for not paying him yet.
Yeah. So he tweeted at them past due, you know, and something to the effect of like, where's my money? And then Clay Matthews, who was also cut, said, yeah, me too. Yeah, that's a little awkward.
Yeah, I just feel like right now is just not the time to be doing this. I'm sorry. I know this is probably not the best way to put this, but millionaires begging for millions of dollars is a tough thing for me to hear right now. And I'm sure a lot of people.
Yeah, Greg, I get that, and I'm not disputing that. And there's got to be some sensitivity to that. But you're under the assumption that just because they're millionaires means they have a lot of money available to them at the moment.
Sure, you don't have to be liquid. You could. It's how you spend your money, how you've saved your money. I mean, Todd Gurley has owed a lot of guaranteed money. So, I mean, who knows what he's done with his cash, if he's saved it or what.
Right, I don't know his finances.
No.
But, you know, CJ McCollum was on his podcast talking about at least the NBA, where he felt like a large chunk, I think he used the I think I want to say it was 75% of NBA players live paycheck to paycheck. It's the law of economics. You make more, you spend more in a lot of cases. So I understand your position, and I fully, I get it. But I think that, again, there comes that. And I also think with Todd, it was more along the lines of maybe still a little hurt by the way things went down.
Oh, for sure. And look, he deserves this money. He is owed this money. This is absolutely his. I don't know. I just personally, I just felt that there was a different way to go about it. Tweeting at the Rams on Twitter in a public forum like that is just asking for you to be seen.
I mean, he also played a sport where he brutalized his body, and his knee will probably never be the same.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, his knee has been pretty bad since college. So, yeah, but
what I'm saying is, like, it, you know, like, of all the sports, I'm not saying that everyone, look, you sign a contract, you deserve to get paid what that contract says, right? You are what your worth is. And I get your position, too. But of all the sports, because of the brutalization of their bodies, I'm never going to argue with a football player about deserving what they think is coming to them.
No, and again, he deserves that money for everything that he's done, everything he's given to the Rams. He basically pushed them all the way to the Super Bowl, along with Jared Goff. But that he deserves it. I just wish he would have done it in a different way that was not on a public forum like that.
He wanted to shame them, though. He wanted to shame them.
Right. Yes. Which I understand, but I just don't feel like that was the best move for him personally to be doing, to be shaming somebody over money when people are looking for money.
I get it. 6.5 million people, more people filed for unemployment this week. I understand what you're saying, but I also think that you're giving people credit for not living in their own silos. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand you should have a more awareness. I'm not debating you on that.
Right.
What I'm telling you is there are more things at play there. I'm not excusing the behavior. I'm explaining the behavior. And I think there's a subtle difference there.
There is. There's a very big difference there. And you're not wrong. I'm not even arguing with you. I'm just giving my side.
Right. Because Clay Matthews jumped in too. And, you know, Clay Matthews has played for a long time and isn't owed the type of money that Todd Gurley's owed.
No, so that could be something that's going on with the Rams, or, like, you know, there's I don't know the financial situations for teams or players.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, I'm just, again, I just feel like it just
did I take
feels,
it the wrong way for you?
No, you didn't. It's fine. Like, I don't. There's never a wrong way. Like, don't get it that way. I just think that it again. It's a position that is completely understandable, but I think it definitely doesn't necessarily encapsulate how that particular person feels about their separation with this particular organization, right? And I think that when you're emotional in any breakup, whether it's a business breakup, a personal breakup, you're going to at times act emotionally and perhaps in some people's minds slightly irrationally. I don't believe he's being irrational. I think he's being emotional. But I think that it's been said in other places that he's been that. And though I don't agree with that, I think that he's just being emotional and he's in his feelings right now. And look, we've all been through a breakup, right? One way or another, and it's never fun. So, again, not excusing the behavior, just explaining the behavior. All right, coming up next, We're going to have our senior shout out today. Who is our senior shout out today, Greg Bergman? Yes, I'm waiting for Greg. Right, you have a senior.
Yeah, I did. It was.
Oh, I couldn't hear you. I must have dropped. Sorry.
No. Yeah. I was muted for whatever. I thought I hit the button. I didn't.
Oh,
it's Aaron,
okay.
It's Aaron Fonts, and he is a football player. He was supposed to go to the University of Montana to play wide receiver in the fall. So hopefully, still
okay,
does.
Okay. Cool. All right. Awesome. So we will talk to Aaron as our senior shout out. So make sure you stick around for that. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. Plus, Om Yang Masuk is going to stop by. He's going to join us. We're going to talk to him about Doc Rivers' conversation and Lawrence Frank's conversation with the media. So we'll talk to Om about that. And anything he's hearing as far as the league is concerned. We'll talk to Om about all that stuff coming up at 11:30. But Aaron Fonts joins us next. Again, he is a track and field star. He is a football star. And headed to the University of Montana in the fall. We'll chat with him, our senior shout-out here locally in Southern California, next on The Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Make sure you get Progressive's home insurance. Get your quote today at progressive.com. Don't forget, we've got our number mania going on right now. We've got the number 5 today, or this hour. The greatest number 5 in LA sports history. Here are your nominees: Robert Horry, Corey Seager, Reggie Bush, or you can vote other. Right now, 50% of the vote with Reggie Bush, which I think is the right. I mean, it's what I would vote. It's what I did vote. Robert Horry, though, close behind at 40.9%. Corey Seager, way back at 5.5%, and other at 3.6%. So you can vote at the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter feed. You can vote there. That's where we'll have all the votings for Number Mania. Now let's talk to Aaron Fonts, Oxnard High School, 4th in the state in 110 hurdles, wide receiver for the University of Montana in the fall, play some corner as well. First of all, man, congratulations on everything you've been able to accomplish and hope.
Thank you.
And healthy. Everyone safe and healthy at home?
Yes, sir. Mom, dad, sister, everybody's good at home.
Okay, good to hear. So tell me a little bit about just everything that you've been through, right? Like the football season, the track season. What was it like going through a season like this, which clearly has been unprecedented?
It's kind of, I don't really know how to say. It's just kind of weird. You know, I didn't really know this was going to happen during track season. I was really excited for track season. I was really trying to get to the state meet this year, what I've been working for, training for. And so it was just kind of mind-blowing, really.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine no one was prepared for this stuff. Like, clearly we're all kind of flying by the seat of our pants.
Yeah.
What were the conversations like with your coaching staff about once the track season kind of went away?
A lot of it was kind of just, you know, just staying put, really just kind of staying in shape because we didn't really know what was going to go on. They didn't know if we were just going to wait till we – well, now we're not going back to school in April, but they didn't know if we're going to wait. But now I just really just stay in shape now, training every other day with my trainer. So,
what is the training like? Like, I mean, is it virtual training? Are they giving you exercises to do, like, and things to do while you're there, like specific, you know, exercises? Or are you on, like, a video Zoom with somebody, like, to just give you instruction? How does that work?
I'm still doing with my trainer one-on-one, you know, just kind of just real distant, you know, still 6 feet away trying to follow that. But I'm still at home in the garage, you know, with my trainer.
Gotcha. What about academics?
Right now I'm still taking calculus, Spanish, and then we have a lot of Google Meet classes, so that's kind of new. A lot of that is actually new. Still doing it online, still got to get used to, but
yeah. What's been the biggest challenge of getting used to doing it online, Aaron?
Really just kind of staying on top, like just being aware of what you got to do with your assignments, because you still got to, this is just a lot of people got classes, so you got to really get online and check out a lot of stuff, pay attention, and be just aware of stuff.
Yeah, well, and more independent work, right? Like, you got to be on top of it yourself. There's not anybody there, you know, on you to do it necessarily as you would in school.
Yeah, my dad's on me, though. You got my dad and my mom on me.
All right. That's cool. Yeah, and, you know, what has that been like with mom and dad just kind of helping you out there?
I mean, they've always been out to help out, so, but now it's just a little more strict. You know, you just want to get stuff done so you don't really fall behind on stuff.
So I know that you're headed to Montana for college. Did they recruit you as a wide receiver or as a corner?
They recruited me as a wide receiver.
Awesome. Aaron Fonts joining us here, Oxnard High School. So give me like your best moment, your most favorite moment in your high school career as a wide receiver. Like, tell me the game. Give me the moment. Tell me what you did. Let me hear what happened.
My probably favorite moment was when we had our school rivalry against Pacifica. I had two touchdowns for the team that really helped out the team. And then Pacifica actually won state, but we were the only loss, which is good. And then our CIF semifinal, I had three touchdowns. We still lost, but that team still went to go and win CIF. But that was kind of my best game, you know, just being there for my team, just still playing.
And what are you going to miss most about high school, considering the way it's ending certainly differently than you would have anticipated?
Now I'm gonna really just miss and being with everybody, because the school is really good environment. I like the school a lot, and just being there with friends. And now that I'm not gonna be able to kind of graduate with them, kind of sucks, but still just sad about it.
Yeah, man, for sure. Aaron Fonts joining us here of Oxnard High School. So what have they told you about, like, graduation and things of that sort?
We really actually don't really know about that at all. I've been asking some of my teachers. They just don't know right now. It's still up in the air. They're still trying to figure out a lot of stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's just one of these weird deals, man. Like, you just got to stay nimble, right? Just like you do on the field as a wide receiver. You got to keep your head on a swivel. That's just life right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Aaron Fonts with us here, Oxnard High School. Again, fourth in the state in the 110 hurdles. Are you going to do any track while you're at Montana too, or no?
I'll probably not. Most likely not planning to. No, just trying to stick to football.
I hear you. So, Aaron, thank you so much, man. Congratulations to you and yours. I'm sorry that it happened to be this way and it turned out this way. But, you know, look, we wish you the best. We're super proud of you. And we'll keep an eye on everything that's going on with you at Montana when you get there in the fall, man.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. And congratulations again. Be well. Stay safe. There's Aaron Fonts, Oxnard High School, fourth in the state, 110 hurdles. And, of course, wide receiver now for the University of Montana. All right, so Ong Yamasuka is going to join us next. We'll talk to him in just a moment. Stick around. We'll get some NBA talk in there. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Ong Yamasuka going to join us here in just a moment. Thanks to Aaron Fonts for joining us there. Our senior shout-out, if you want to highlight a senior in college, school, you could do so by emailing first and last name, city and school, to ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. That's ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com. Or you can nominate them via a video on Instagram or Twitter with the hashtag 710 senior shout out. Now, yesterday we had Amanda Truong, who was the Long Beach track and field star. The nomination, do we have the brothers nomination from yesterday? Because that was just awesome, awesome, awesome video. Her brother, like, first of all, he tricked her completely. And and then he just had, like, a really funny video. It's on the ESPN Los Angeles' Twitter feed. I don't know if we have that particular audio. I know, Laura, I may have just sprung that on you, so it's not fair for you to have that right now. But if you can get that later, I want to play that because I thought it was the funniest way to nominate someone. Ong Yamasuka joins us now. He covers the NBA for us. ESPN NBA Insider, covers the Clippers, covers the Lakers. Joining us now. Now, you were on the phone call, Om, with Doc and Lawrence Frank, so I want to talk about that in just a second. But first, I hope everyone's safe and sound. Yes?
Yes. So far, so good. My parents, I'm from Maryland, so my parents live in Maryland, but my mom and dad usually split time where one is in Thailand and the other one is in Maryland, and then they flip-flop when the one gets back, the other one goes. Probably better that way. Otherwise, they fight all the time, but we kept my mom in Thailand. She was supposed to actually fly back in the middle of when everything was just breaking out in the United States. And so she stayed over there. My dad is in Maryland, and he's doing good. I can't get him to stop his routine of 40-plus years of going to McDonald's every morning for breakfast at, like, 5 a.m. But, you know, the good thing is right. that he can only basically carry out the food. So, so far, so good. He's safe. We're safe here. And I hope you and your family and everybody else, all our listeners, are safe, too.
All good, man. Yeah, thank you for asking. Listen, I don't blame him, man. Those sausage McMuffins are good. And those McGriddles with the chicken now, I mean, that's good stuff, man.
George, no. He goes in, he doesn't even need to order. They know his order. He orders, like, the big breakfast, and, like, he doesn't even need to say it. Because I actually had this argument with him. I said, why are you going inside? Like, you still have to open a door, touch everything. You got to talk to someone. He goes, no, I don't got to talk to him. He goes, they know my order. I just give them the money. That's it. And I'm like, great.
Yeah, that's like it's like the Seinfeld version of the soup Nazi. They don't, you know, he just know, like they give it to him. He just says two words and they got it. They're good. We just keep it moving. All right, so let's talk about Doc and Lawrence. And what was your, I guess, biggest takeaway from their conversation?
Well, I think there's a lot of things. One, I had talked to an assistant coach from the Eastern Conference just like the day before. And unsolicited, somehow the conversation turned toward what teams are doing for their players. And he just goes, you hear some teams are taking care of their players and other teams are not. And he goes, the Clippers, though, he's like, man, I've heard the Clippers have provided older players with Peloton and enough equipment to build their own home gym. And I said, really? And I said, well, you know, that would make sense because Steve Ballmer has the deepest pockets in the NBA. And Lawrence Frank basically confirmed that prior to the facilities all being shut down NBA-wide, the Clippers had decided to kind of close their gym a little bit earlier. They just didn't want to take any chances. And so their staff, their strength and conditioning staff, looked into basically starting to buy equipment for everybody. And Lawrence said shortly after that, there was a rush on all, like, pretty much home gym equipment, and that they kind of were fortunate to be ahead of the curve. And of course, you know, Steve Ballmer, you know, he's got the deepest pockets in the NBA. He can buy whatever he wants. And so basically, I think a lot of these guys, even right down to the individual, based on their height or whatever equipment they wanted, they were able to get if they needed it at their house. So these guys are staying in shape. They're doing Zoom videos where basically guys can all get in on a workout if they want to. And they've had attendance of about 9 guys at the most, I think, at one time. And so they're pretty much staying in shape. And Doc also said, I asked Doc about Kawhi. I said, how does this long layoff affect him, especially because everybody's always been talking about his health? And he said, I know that right now he's probably overworking like crazy. And if anything, when we do get back, he will be in phenomenal shape. And so basically he told us him, Kawhi and PG are probably working out like crazy right now and be in great shape if the season is able to resume.
It's interesting because we had this conversation, I want to say last week, Om, which was, who does this benefit and who does this hurt more? And I think the conversation was, it kind of hurts the Lakers more because, as Dave was on with us earlier, you know, LeBron has been someone that needs a bit of a jump start, right? Like he kind of has to ease his way into things. That's the way he's traditionally done it. He can be a little sloppy and loose with the ball early on in the season, things of that nature. And just his body isn't where he wants it to be. He kind of works his way up there. And with the Clippers, with all their injuries that they've had with Kawhi and Paul and just all the guys in general, it seems like the layoff could favor them in a lot of ways.
So it's not just the injuries, George. If you remember correctly, the narrative around the Clippers all season long was, A, they were going to get off to a slow start because they had to incorporate Kawhi and Paul George into Doc Rivers' system with the existing group from last year. B, due to their health, they were going to be load managing much of the year, not playing certain games. Remember, Paul George didn't play in like the first 16 games or something like that. Kawhi Leonard would not play in back-to-back games. And then, on top of that, there was no chemistry because the way the Clippers' schedule was, they didn't have time to practice, and Doc was just going to give them as many days off as possible, the whole team. Now they have this time off. Kawhi Leonard's going to be healthy. Paul George is going to be healthy. And on top of that, right before this all hit, they were hitting their stride. They had won seven of the last eight games. Their only loss was to the Lakers, and they were starting to feel, you know, they were starting to feel like themselves. In fact, Doc said yesterday they were starting to feel like Clippers again. They weren't wondering about where they needed to be or stepping on each other's toes. So when they come back, if they do come back, he said, he even used this example. He said, when I say slice 83 or something like that, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, the whole players, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Unlike training camp, where we had to teach them everything, because these guys will know the plays when we mention them. It's just going to be all about rhythm. Doc said that it's going to probably be like, if they do come back, he doesn't know how long of a camp they may have, maybe 1 week, whatever it might be. But he was like, it's going to feel like an all-star break, basically times 100, that these guys are going to come back and everyone's going to be rusty and everybody's in the same boat. But at least the Clippers will know plays, they'll know each other, and they have some sort of chemistry going.
Om Yamasuk joining us here, ESPN NBA Insider, covers the Clippers and the Lakers. He joins us on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. So let me ask you about just kind of some of the other things that I guess that they discussed, right? Like, what were some of the issues that they've had as far as keeping guys like right mentally? Have they had any of those discussions about just kind of where guys are? I would imagine some guys are not even in LA. Like, how have they been able to keep guys on the same page in that regard?
Well, Doc has basically, and, you know, Doc has actually referred to himself as an introvert, which I think if, you know, you aren't around Doc all the time, you see this guy, he's very talkative, he's very charismatic, he has personality, but Doc has referred to himself as an introvert, and he is saying that during this time, one thing that's been difficult for him to overcome, and he's done it, is that he's had to do all these Zoom calls and video conferences and call people and return text messages. These are things that he normally doesn't like doing, but he has said that he has called his players. He calls 3 to 4 players every day. He just has a list and he goes to them and he cycles them through them all to check in on guys all the time. And he's basically not even talking to them about basketball. He's talking to them about life, and I think he's probably developing a stronger bond with his players. Lawrence Frank has actually said one of the things that they've become cognizant about as an organization, as a franchise, is that they even have like some 20-something-year-olds who are by themselves during this moment. And, you know, basically feeling isolated at a time like this, especially for a young person who might not be married, who's not with family, can be very difficult. And Lauren said they're learning about these type of challenges and understanding that they have to check in on everyone, especially their youngest in the franchise, to make sure everything's okay. So I think the team, and they're having, like, I think Doc has even said they've had Zoom meetings about 2 to 3 times a week with his coaching staff. I think it's made them pretty closer, but it's also been a little bit frustrating for them because this is an organization that loves to meet all the time and have these meetings in person. I think I talked to general manager Michael Winger, who said that basically now they're having these calls all the time, but they don't have these calls without purpose. They're always trying to figure out something, look under every rock possible in order to get an advantage, because every team's in the same boat right now, right? The Clippers are looking ahead and trying to project like where they can have advantages if the season actually starts up again. And they're doing it all by basically trying to stay connected through these video conference calls and also just old school phone calling as well.
Let me ask you this. You had mentioned about the potential of training camp. If they get back, how long will it be? And look, we know that Adams already said that, you know, they're not making any decisions till May, but clearly they're having conversations about how to potentially proceed if and when it's possible. If you were running the show, how would you kind of schedule this whole if they got the green light?
I've been kind of following this whole outbreak since the very first report of it came out of China. I'm a sci-fi geek and usually kind of like, you know,
obsessed about these little like breakouts and outbreaks and things like that. So having watched what's going on around the world and around China and like reading probably way too much about it, I just think like it's going to come down to something where we have to, you know, if the NBA is ever going to start up again, they would have to go somewhere like a remote location, quarantine everybody. And like, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist, but like, I feel like they're going to have to literally be in a hotel for a month and a half. Everybody's going to have to agree to sign up for this, not see their family members. Everybody, even the employees in the hotel, would have to, like, right down to the people who make your food, who clean your rooms, everything, wouldn't have to leave because you can't have someone get sick right. again. You have to right. basically eliminate that. You would have to be able to have multiple, the ability to multiple tests, maybe on every day. I don't know. It's not even enough to just take people's temperatures because people can be asymptomatic and have it. You would literally have to have tests all the time. And it's obviously not a good look if everybody else in the country can't get tests, but yet the NBA would have multiple tests. I'm sure Adam Silver has looked through this in every possible scenario. Knowing Adam and having been around the NBA for over two decades, they look over everything. I'm sure they've gone over every possible option. But do you feel like that they're going to have to be in this, like, you know, almost like a spaceship? I mean, you watch these sci-fi movies like Alien or whatever, and they're hermetically sealed on these spaceships. It almost has to be probably something like that, at least in my mind, unless the rest of the country comes up with a vaccine quick enough, which is going to be difficult to imagine, and also like multiple testing available all the time. That's kind of like the scenario I imagine. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, look, I think the testing part of it is key, right? And I had Jeff Passan on earlier in the week to talk about the story that he broke about baseball. And, you know, personally, he's still a bit of a skeptic, right? That it can get done, that baseball wants to do this similar thing in Arizona, right? But he said that the baseball people feel like, based on their conversations with the health folks, that they can have better and more testing by May. And if that happens, it wouldn't be just for them. It would also be something that the public will be able to partake in too, which is, I think, the big part of this, right? Just the social consciousness of it all for these leagues, I think, is important. So I do think, let's say that's on the surface, that's true. Then yes, then that would be the way the NBA could proceed, because they wouldn't feel like they're taking anything away from the general public.
Oh, you almost feel like when you see like what Dana White's doing, like, or talking about getting like his own private island and like building a compound there and playing things on this island, like you almost think like maybe that's the extreme that people have to go to see sports again until we have the ability to have all this. But then, you know, look, I see what we're doing in California and everybody seems to be doing the right thing and social distancing. But then you look at like some of the other states and you wonder, like, is Florida a month to 2 months behind all of us?
Because they are.
They haven't been doing that until now, right? So you feel like, and I know this is close to you because you're from South Florida. So, like, you look and see what's going on and people still going to church and everything like that. And you project, like, this, what's happening here is going to happen there perhaps in a month and a half or a month or whatever it may be. And you look at these other countries that are starting to perhaps come out of this, like China, which recently loosened restrictions. And you saw, like, last weekend, there were pictures of people. They were finally able to go out and they went to like national parks and they went to like tourist locations and they packed them, man. There was like one place, I saw this one report that by 7:30 in the morning, it was at full capacity, and full capacity is 20,200 people. And they were basically telling people, you can't come in anymore. And it gave me anxiety seeing these pictures because they're all walking up like one narrow staircase. Some of them wearing masks, some of them not. And I'm like, oh man, this is crazy. Hopefully everybody in that country is okay to come out. But that country, China, South Korea, whatever, they kept everybody inside for as much as we could possibly know, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't know everything over there. And we don't know if everything is like on the, you know, on the legit. But, you know, if they stay quarantined for that long and you look at our country and some parts are doing their part but others are not, that to me makes me feel like we're still behind for a couple months. So if the NBA is talking about coming back in June, what is Florida going to look like? What is Texas going to look like? What are all these other states that we haven't really seen these massive outbreaks yet? And that's what kind of worries me about everything.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. I do think that there's that. You know, you have to worry about these other areas of the country and how they're going to react. And maybe they'll have to kind of cross that bridge when they get to it. If certain parts of the country can function, do you restrict travel, right? There's a million different scenarios here, obviously, just for the general public, let alone athletics and sports and professional sports. So, real quick before we let you go, we asked this of Dave earlier because Matt Berry, the SportsCenter anchor, had a great tweet today, which is basically he asked the question, what is the movie, okay, that you hear so much about? People talk about how great it is and that you love or that they love, et cetera, that you think is either overrated or just awful altogether. He went with Princess Bride, A Christmas Story, and Space Jam. I went with Hoosiers and Rudy, and Dave McMiniman had a conniption when I mentioned Rudy for whatever reason. But what are your movies, and are you in on Hoosiers and Rudy being overrated?
Let's see. Hoosiers. I haven't watched Hoosiers in a long time, so I might say Hoosiers might be a little overrated. Rudy? Well, Rudy is a little overrated to me. You want to know why? I'm a Michigan State Spartan. So.
Oh, there you go. I'm with you. Listen, I don't like Notre Dame either, so I'm with you on that. Go ahead. All right, but what are your movies? Like, ones that you're like...
I grew up a Miami Hurricane fan, so basically, and you know you too, so
yeah,
I'm not going to be able to root for a Notre Dame guy, so
yeah,
I would probably say Rudy's a little overrated too.
Yeah. All right. So what about you? A movie that everyone says, man, this movie's awesome. And you're like, I'm not feeling it.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this. I'm really going to get in trouble.
Go ahead.
For this,
but, give it to me.
The Godfathers. I mean, I like them. I'm not into like mafia movies, man. So it's like, like Sopranos when I watched it, I was like, hey, this is good. But like, I just wasn't. And I lived in New Jersey for almost 20 years, and I didn't love The Sopranos, but Godfather's great. I guess great movie. I appreciate the acting. I appreciate everything, the plot and all that. But I just, I don't know. I don't have to watch Godfather every time it's on TV.
Oh, see, I only watch it during the holidays when they run the marathons. That's really the only time I watch them. I don't watch them for pleasure or whatever. But
Shawshank is on, I watch Shawshank almost every time.
You scared me there because I thought you were going to say that one was overrated. But okay,
no, I love Shawshank Redemption, but Godfather, I don't feel the urge. I don't quote Godfather all the time. I know people that quote it all the time, and I look at them and I'm just like, oh, okay. I know people are going to hate me for this. I totally get it. Every time I said that to all my friends in New York and everything like that, they're just like, you are the craziest person on the planet. I don't know. I just, I appreciate it for what it means and cinematic history. And it's a great movie. I'm a big movie buff, but I don't know. I've just never felt the urge to have to watch all the Godfathers.
I feel like I'm going to say something to you about you being Fredo. I knew it was you, Fredo. I knew it was you. But not going to resonate because you don't love the movie, so it doesn't matter.
So I definitely gave the worst answer, worse than McMenamin, for sure.
Oh, he was out on all the superhero movies, which is also a kind of an interesting take too, to be honest with you. But you're not on completely equal footing, but people were not happy with his superhero rant either. So there is
I love all the superhero movies. Like I said, I'm also a sci-fi fan. I'm a comic book fan, all that stuff. But I know The Godfather is just it's something you do not cross with people. I totally get it. Understand this. As much I'm a Star Wars guy, so people who don't like Star Wars, I look at them like, what's wrong with you? You know what I mean? Empire Strikes Back to me is one of the greatest movies ever, I totally understand. Godfather is considered the Holy Grail.
Cinematic masterpiece. There he is. Om Yamasuk, ESPN NBA insider, covers the Clippers, covers the Lakers, covers the league. Thank you, brother, for stopping by. Stay safe. We'll talk soon, okay?
Same to you. Keep everybody safe.
Take care, brother. All right, final segment coming up. We got 3 minutes. We'll open it up to you. What's that movie that everyone loves that you're not feeling, that you hate? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Om Yamasuk. Thanks to Aaron Fonts, our senior shout-out. Thanks to Dave McMiniman. If you missed our interview today with any of them, go to our on-demand section of our podcast, the Sedano Show podcast on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcast. Brought to you by Capital One Quicksilver Card. Earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? Godfather with Om Yamasuk. Were you surprised by Godfather?
I'm always surprised when someone says Godfather, because those movies are just so good.
They are good. I mean, the third one, not so great, but I mean, whatever.
It was fine.
Let me go to Shurkin in L.A. Shurkin, what's the movie that everyone likes that you're like, nah, I'm not feeling that?
Avatar.
Oh, you know what? That's not a bad one. I'm like, I saw it, but you know what's funny? I've never seen it again after watching it in the movies whenever it came out, you know, 20 years ago to wherever the hell.
Same here. I saw it. It was all right, but it wasn't what I thought it would be.
Right. It was supposed to change movies. I don't know if it changed the movies. Did it? I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, I don't know if it did or didn't.
Yeah.
Hi, man. Good hearing from you. Oh, you got anything else? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yesterday, you forgot Candace Parker for number 3.
Oh, man. Bergman, that was your job.
I did miss that one. I did. I missed Steve Sachs, too.
Don't forget number 9, Lisa Leslie, when we do 9.
Yeah, seriously.
Lisa Leslie 9.
He does have Lisa Leslie.
11. I got Margot Dierdeck 12.
I mean, you know, Shurkin, I need to do all the work myself, clearly.
I'm not doing a good job. You're doing it, Greg.
Thanks, man.
Hey, Shurkin, thanks, man. Stay safe.
You got to take it easy.
All right. Bergman, how do you forget Candace Parker?
It was a mistake, all right? I have Lisa Leslie. I was going by just retired numbers. I got Shanae Ogumike at 13. I'm good. Neka Ogumike at 30. We're good.
It's Candace Parker. Oh, anyway. All right. If you want to see the results, go to the ESPN Los Angeles page. You only have an hour to vote on these things. Number Mania continues tomorrow with number 6 and number 7. Thanks to Ohm. Thanks to Dave. Thanks to Aaron. Subscribe to the podcast. Thanks to Laura and Greg. Thanks to you guys for tuning in and calling in. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10.